Here's a question. Have you noticed the world's obsession with being entertained? Anything less is considered boring. It's no wonder so many believe that heaven will be dull. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah offers solid biblical assurance that heaven will be anything but dreary. From the series The Promise of Heaven, here's David to address the question posed in today's message, won't heaven be boring?
And thank you for joining us today. This is Turning Point, and I'm David Jeremiah. We're studying the subject of heaven, and today we're going to talk about this question that we hear often, won't heaven be boring? And I'm going to give you some reasons why it will not be, and I hope you'll take notes and in your own heart remember these things, because the one thing you will never be able to say about heaven, no matter who you are or where you come from, is it will not be boring, I promise you. We'll tell you why in just a moment. We have a new book that we have just finished, and it's the basis of this current series. The book is called The Promise of Heaven. It is 31 chapters of information about heaven, what it's going to be like, the questions people have about it, things like, what about people who commit suicide? What about people who have their bodies cremated? Questions like, will there be marriage in heaven? What about animals? Will there be animals in heaven? What will we do in heaven? Won't it not be very boring? That's the question we're going to answer today. Will heaven be boring? And we'll get to it in just a moment. But be sure you get a copy of this book, because all the information that you're hearing on the radio and a lot more, we can't even come close to getting all of the information in this book on the radio. We don't have time. And the book is 240 pages, hardback book. It's got a scriptural index, a topical index, and it will help you understand a lot of the things about heaven that you've wondered about. It's yours for a gift of any size to Turning Point. Just ask for the book when you send your gift, and we'll make sure you get it. You can also get the book at any of the places where good books are sold. It's now in all the big stores, and I just want you to have this book. I want you to have it, for the information that's in it will be encouraging and strengthening to you, and it will be an addition to your faith, and I hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity to read up on this subject. Right now, let's get started with today's lesson. Here's part one of Won't Heaven Be Boring? Today I want to talk with you about the subject of heaven and why it won't be boring. And I want to begin with a little epitaph, an old poem about a tired housewife that's been shared for years in books and cards. I don't know who wrote it, but it goes like this. Here lies a poor woman who was always tired. She lived in a house where help wasn't hired. Her last words on earth were, "Dear friends, I am going where there's no cooking or washing or sewing. For everything there is exact to my wishes. For where they don't eat, there's no washing of dishes. I'll be where loud anthems will always be ringing, but having no voice, I'll be spared of the singing. Don't mourn for me now, don't mourn for me never. I'm going to do nothing forever and ever." And you know, that's what a lot of people think heaven is all about, isn't it? They think heaven is just going someplace and floating around on a cloud for eternity. And when you say that's not the way it is, well, isn't heaven boring, they say? And that's the ultimate put down in today's society. If it's boring, it can't be good. I remember reading Michael Crichton, one of the most brilliant writers and producers in our time. He wrote a bestseller called Timeline. And he had something interesting to say about the subject of boredom. One of his characters, Robert Doninger, is the CEO of a powerful and highly secretive technology company. And near the end of the book, Doninger stands up before his audience in his company's auditorium, and he says this. In other centuries, human beings wanted to be saved or improved or freed or educated. But in our century, they want to be entertained. The great fear is not the fear of disease or death, but of boredom. A sense of time on our hands, a sense of nothing to do, a sense that we are not amused. Where will this mania of entertainment end? And of course, the iPhone has had a lot to do with that. We have to have something going on every minute of every day. And with that as the backdrop, the thought of going to heaven and there not being anything to do is frightening to most people. With this fear of boredom on our hearts, it's no wonder we're concerned about heaven. I mean, if we think we're bored down here, what in the world will it be like when we get up there. One of my friends is a guy named John Eldridge, and he wrote a book called The Journey of Desire. And in that book, he said, nearly every Christian I've spoken with has some idea that eternity is an unending church service. We have settled on the image of the never-ending sing-along in the sky, one great hymn after another, forever and ever. Amen. And our heart sinks, forever and ever, that's it? That's the good news? And we sigh and we feel guilty that we're not more spiritual, and we lose heart and we turn again to the more present to find out what life can be like. Unfortunately, there are just many Christians who believe that heaven will be boring. All we'll be doing forever is strumming harps, floating on clouds, and polishing the streets of gold. But I want to give you five reasons today why heaven will not be boring. Reason number one, heaven will not be boring because God is not boring. Amen. Listen to this. You've probably heard this verse before, but never in this context. Psalm 16:11, God, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What exists in God's presence? Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. When we're with God, we're on the scene of endless explosions of absolute pleasure and joy. And that's what heaven will always be like. Our God is the most exciting, adventuresome, creative person you can ever imagine. Multiplied a billion times over. And the new heavens and the new earth and the city of New Jerusalem will reflect his exuberance. We can't begin to comprehend the excitement that belongs to the triune God with whom we're going to spend eternity. He spoke the universe into existence. Think of that. He made the elephant, the eagle, the earthworm. He created a donkey that could speak. He created a fish that could swallow a man, and a flock of ravens that could feed a prophet. He sweeps his hand across the sky, turning it into a crimson blaze of glory. He's the one who can ignite volcanoes and send meteors hurtling through space and zap the blackened skies with lightning bolts and thunderclaps. God turned the Nile into blood and well water into wine. He flung fire from heaven in response to Elijah's prayers. He answered Job out of the whirlwind. He delivered Daniel from the lion's den, and he caused the sun and moon to stand still for Joshua. Randy Alcorn, who's written probably the most provocative book on heaven, a great book, he said, our belief that heaven will be boring betrays a heresy that God is boring. There is no greater nonsense. Our desire for pleasure and the experience of joy come greatly and directly from God's hand. He made our taste buds. He made adrenaline. He made our sex drives and the nerve endings that convey pleasure to our brains. Likewise, our imaginations and our capacity for joy and exhilaration were made by the very God we accuse of being boring. Are we so arrogant that we imagine that human beings came up with the idea of having fun? The very qualities we admire in others, every one of them, are true of God. He's the source of everything we find fascinating. Who made Bach? Who made Beethoven or Mozart? Who gave them their gifts? Who created music itself and the ability to perform it all? All that is admirable and fascinating in human beings comes from our Creator. No, heaven will not be boring because the God we love and serve is not boring. Here's second reason. Heaven will not be boring not only because God is not boring, but because Jesus is not boring. Heaven will not be boring because we'll be physically and visually close to Christ. Think of what an exciting life the apostles experienced. When you read the Gospels, and every day they woke up, they didn't know what was going to happen. They were walking with the Son of God. They heard the Sermon on the Mount with their own ears. They watched their nets strain with fish at the bidding of Christ. They stood in awe as dead people returned to life. They participated in inexplicable miracles like the taming of vicious storms. They experienced the greatest surprise of their lives when Jesus suddenly appeared to them on the day of his resurrection. Peter walked on water. Mary Magdalene was rid of her demons. Peter, James, and John met Moses and Elijah. Zacchaeus looked down and saw Jesus spying him through the branches of a sycamore tree. And Stephen looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Can you imagine a boring day with a stranger of Galilee? I can't. He raised the dead. He healed the lepers. He overturned the tables of the temple, cleansed the temple. He walked across the sea. He fed thousands of people with a few fish and loaves. And he rose from the grave and ascended to heaven. And he's going to be in heaven, and you think heaven's going to be boring? Are you kidding me? All of us who have sought to walk with Christ through the years know that the Christian life is one of joy and comfort, excitement, and sometimes uncertainty as we wait to see what the Lord is going to do next. But he's with us in every pattern of weather as our lives change. He gives daily strength for daily needs. He provides promises and answers prayer. Listen to me. The Christian life is a great adventure if you walk with the Lord. But let me put this all in perspective for you. Peter said, "Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Everything I've described to you so far is for us to view through our reading and through our minds. We haven't seen it, but one day we're going to see him. And the Bible says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If he's as wonderful as he is, having not seen him, wait till we see him. And when we see him, he's going to be overwhelming. So heaven won't be boring, because God is not boring and Jesus is not boring. And you're going to have to really trust me with this one. Heaven will not be boring because you will not be boring. Where in the world do you find that in the Bible, Dr. Jeremiah? Well, let me tell you what Paul wrote. He said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." Paul said we're all going to be what? Changed. Not changed for the worst, changed for the better. In Philippians, he put it another way. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now watch this. "Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body." Amen. What Paul is telling us in these two passages of Scripture is that when we go to heaven, on our way up, we're going to be transformed and we're going to get bodies just like the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven won't be boring because you will not be boring. And for some of you, that's a real stretch, I know. But just think of it for a moment. When you get to heaven, all the reasons that you are boring now will have been reshaped into a perfectly resurrected you. Amen. Consider this. When we get to heaven, we will not be either bored or boring, because we'll have received new bodies that are anything but boring. They won't age, they won't get tired, they won't malfunction or grow sick or weak, and we'll have all the energy and drive and ambition imaginable, and our bodies will never weaken or suffer fatigue. We can be at the full height of joy every day, 24 hours a day, without ever wearing out. Can you imagine that? As you know, I have been, I guess you could call it sick. I've had this condition that I got on Labor Day in 23, where I lost the use of the lower part of my body, and I've been trying to get it back little by little, and it's coming back. What I've discovered during this time was I've had to have sort of an edited version of the old David Jeremiah. The old David Jeremiah would say yes to anything anybody asked him to do and do it with all his heart, and tired at night, but do it again the next day. But I can't do that anymore. I can do certain things, like I can preach these sermons, but I'm not going to any Broadway plays. You know, you learn that you have to put your situation into the setting that you can do. As you get older, things get different and you can't do everything you used to do. I know that doesn't sound like good news, it's just true. But the Bible says our resurrected heavenly bodies, we're going to be able to experience everything at the highest experience value all the time without ever being tired of being happy. Can you imagine that? So heaven won't be boring because God the Father's not going to be boring, and he'll be there. Jesus Christ, who will be there in his human body, he won't be boring. We know what he's like. We've studied him in the Gospels. You'll be there, and you won't be boring because you're going to have a makeover on the way up. And then the Bible teaches also that heaven will not be boring because your friendships won't be boring. Some people say, well, when I get to heaven, I won't know anybody. Well, friendship doesn't end at heaven's gate. It will flourish like never before. The scripture hints that our relationships won't be erased, but they'll be redeemed. They'll be deepened. They'll be made eternal. Jesus spoke of sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. And Paul encouraged believers with the hope that we'll be reunited together forever with our families and our loved ones. In Luke 16:9, Jesus spoke of eternal dwellings where friends welcome each other. One of the most insightful theologians of early America, if you've studied any of the history of the church, was a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. I don't like to read long quotes. This is a little longer than I would normally read, but it's worth listening. This is what he said. No inhabitants of that blessed world will ever be grieved with the thought that they are slighted by those that they love, or that their love is not fully and fondly returned. There shall be no such thing as flattery or insincerity in heaven, but their perfect sincerity shall reign through all in all. Everyone will be just what he seems to be and will really have all the love that he seems to have. It will not be as in this world, where comparatively few things are what they seem to be and where professions are often made lightly and without meaning. But there, every expression of love will come from the bottom of the heart, and all that is professed shall be really and truly felt. Can you imagine that? That brings heaven down to what we're dealing with right now. You know, I've said to people, if I could know the absolute truth, I'd always know what to do. But unfortunately, when you're dealing with issues between people, you don't know the truth, because you don't know if she's telling you the truth or he's telling you the truth, or if either one of them are telling you the truth. So you don't know what to do. But in heaven, there will be no such thing as dishonesty. And truth will permeate every single relationship. So you will never walk away from a relationship and say, I wonder what he meant by that. You will always be aware of the fact that you're dealing with life on the human level of perfection. Imagine strolling through the golden streets of the New Jerusalem with a friend, marveling at the breathtaking beauty of God's creation. Walking together by the crystal clear river of life, watching the trees bear fruit in every season, and join the multitudes in worshiping the Lamb who was slain. Every moment will be filled with pure joy, deep love and wonder, no jealousy, no insecurity, no weariness, just the love of Christ. And then this one might surprise you, but it doesn't surprise me because I understand this one completely. Heaven will not be boring because your work will not be boring. Work is my life. When I first got myelitis, I thought, well, I won't be able to work, but I did. I wrote a couple of books. I've been preaching. We had a great Father's Day service. Work is a blessing. It's not a curse. Somebody said, if you do something you like to do, you'll never work a day in your life. That's kind of the way I feel. You know, I don't work. This is what I do. This is who I am. Well, heaven is not a place of idleness. It's a place of joyful activity and meaningful service. One of the most consistent themes running through the book of Revelation is that of serving God. When we're in heaven, we're going to serve God. From beginning to end, heaven is described as a realm where God's people serve him. I could give you many, many scriptures. Here's a few. Revelation 7:15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. Revelation 19:5, then a voice from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both great and small. Revelation 22:3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And when you get to heaven and you walk in the door as a believer, listen to the welcoming speech you're going to get from God. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. You had a little job here, but I'm giving you a big job up here. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And that verse doesn't sound to me like we're going to be sitting around doing nothing forever and ever in heaven. Doesn't sound like retirement, but a promotion. In other words, eternal life is not a break from work. It is a breakthrough to better work. It is purpose without pressure. It's service without fatigue, and it's joy without end. There are two things against which we all revolt. One is work that's tedious and meaningless or encumbered by a difficult working environment. The other thing we don't like is idleness and the lack of occupation. But the work that awaits us in heaven will be a delight to the soul. Rudyard Kipling meant these words when he wrote them. He said, "When Earth's last picture is painted and the tubes are twisted and dried, when the oldest colors have faded and the youngest critic has died, we shall rest, and faith we shall need it, lie down for an aeon or two, till the master of all good workmen shall put us to work anew." Isn't that true? That's what's going to happen when we get there. But in his book on heaven, Wilbur Smith says that in heaven we will be permitted to finish many of those worthy tasks which we had dreamed to do while we were on earth, but which neither time nor ability allowed us to achieve. You probably have a project you've been working on. Maybe it's a good and godly one. Perhaps you're running out of time. But don't worry, you're going to have plenty of time one day to finish whatever you didn't get done down here that you wanted to do for God. And Randy Alcorn, once again, tries to help us understand how different work will be when we get to heaven. What will it be like to perform a task, to build and create, knowing that what we're doing will last? What will it be like to always be gaining skill so that our best work will always still be ahead of us? Because our minds and our bodies will never fade, and because we will never lack resources or opportunity, our work will never degenerate. Buildings won't last for only 50 years, and this one I love, and books won't be in print for only 20 years. They'll last forever. Can you imagine that? So there you have it. Five reasons why heaven won't be boring. Don't forget them. God won't be boring. Jesus won't be boring. You won't be boring. Your work won't be boring. And the Bible teaches us there's a lot of good reasons to get excited about heaven. Heaven is everything you've ever enjoyed on earth, multiplied a million times over, if it's good and godly. Romans 8, 22 and 23 says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Paul wrote to the Romans and he said, we Christians, we groan because we were made for more than what we can ever experience in this world. We were not created to have ultimate joy in this world. We were created to have ultimate joy in heaven when we get with God. So heaven won't be boring because it's the fulfillment of every desire in your heart. Someone has said, when you get to heaven, you will just say, oh, so this is what I've been waiting for. And heaven will be like that. I want to take away from you any thought about the boring nature of heaven. And we'll talk about it again tomorrow for a few moments as we close up on this subject. And then Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to talk about what happens when we die. The topic is, where are they now? Where do people go when they die? And then on Friday, part one of What About the Children? Will children be in heaven? And how do you qualify to go to heaven if you're a little child? Well, these questions are in the book, The Promise of Heaven, 240 pages, 31 reasons to get excited about your eternal home. And this book is yours for the asking when you send a gift to Turning Point during the month of October. Do the best you can. Help us get this message out and ask for your copy of the book when you do it. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's series, The Promise of Heaven, please visit our website, where we also offer two free ways to help you stay connected, our monthly Turning Points magazine, and our daily email devotional. Sign up today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of David's encouraging new book, The Promise of Heaven, 31 Reasons to Get Excited About Your Eternal Home. It is yours for a gift of any amount. Now you can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard, the New International, and the New King James versions, complete with notes and articles from Dr. Jeremiah's decades of study. Get all the details when you visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, The Promise of Heaven. It's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.